Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. It's 3:30 p.m. We're here for a special meeting, an executive session. And call this meeting to order. Take it a roll call, please.
All council members are present except for council members O'Neill and Ring.
All right, we're going to start with our work session, then we'll move on to the executive session. Toby?
Good afternoon. Well, we're here this afternoon to hear from our utilities director, Mark Clark. He's kind of in the middle of a whole bunch of projects, especially at our wastewater treatment plants. Not only things that are on tonight's agenda, but items that'll be coming at the next couple of agendas. So we thought it would be a nice opportunity to have Mark kind of go through all the projects, talk about what's happening, so that you and the public can better understand. Maybe take about 45 minutes or so today just to go through the projects and have an opportunity to have a workshop talking about the projects. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter, Mr. Mayor, Council. As Toby said, we've got a lot of things going on, and we've given some tours to some of the city council members, so they've had an opportunity to see some of this firsthand, and we would extend the same offer to the rest of the council if they want to go out and see what the facilities really are like. Pictures are worth 1,000 words, but seeing it physically is worth 10,000 words. So if you could bring up the slideshow. Okay, this is just our cover slide, which shows a picture of our Section 10 plant, and all those little white boxes are projects that we've got to do over there at that plant. If you could go to the next slide. Okay, this is another picture of that same Section 10 wastewater plant, but what we've done is we've kind of color-coded it so that you can see what's happening when. If you look at it, you'll see there are some red items. Those are the items that we currently have under construction. The two big ones we have are our headworks, our new headworks. That's at the far right end of this, and you'll see two little circles next to that box that is the headworks. That's our odor control. Those are under construction right now. We are getting ready. The basement's been poured. It's been waterproof. They're backfilling now. We will be pouring the slab for the main floor here within the next couple weeks. And then they'll start stacking block for the actual building above. Last year, we purchased the bar screens that will go in there. They're Heber bar screens. They came from Germany. And we looked at quite a few different bar screen systems before we selected theirs. Also, we've got under construction this year, we've got a generator going in. You'll see that at the far left. That's the red item at the far left. That generator is supposed to be delivered anytime now. We're just waiting for the company to load it on trucks, get four trucks to load it on, because it's a very large generator. It's going to take four semi-trucks to bring it up here, and then we'll get that over there to back up our blower buildings. If you look at also one other project, it's in blue because it's next year for a finish date, but we've actually started construction on our second aeration basin. That's on kind of the bottom left there, that blue box you see. That's aeration basin number two. That's actually under construction. We've got the hole dug. We've got the rebar into the existing aeration basin all exposed, and they're getting ready, hopefully in the not too distant future, to put in the base so we can start pouring the floor of that. Also, what we've got set up for next year, and this is also a council agenda item for tonight, is if you look at just to the right of where that aeration basin is, that's our oxidation ditch. That is last time that was rehabbed was about 2007, and it's in pretty poor shape, and I've got some pictures I'll show you a little later. But we're going to be rehabbing that next year, doing a full rehab on that. Part of that rehab is going to include new pumps, motors, and those are the items that we're going to request that you approve tonight. And we'll get to that when we get to the pictures a little later. And then all the blue items you see, those are the rest of the items that will be next year. You see kind of in the middle left part of the screen, you'll see three clarifiers. There's one new one and two rehabs we're going to be doing. The middle one there that we call clarifier number two has actually failed. Yesterday and today, we have a company out here putting in some temporary equipment so we can get it back up and running until the permanent replacement equipment is manufactured. And these The equipment for these three clarifiers will be coming to you at the next city council meeting. The reason for that and for the oxidation ditch equipment being ordered this year as opposed to next year is there's a 9-month lag between when we order and when we receive the equipment. So in order to get it to be able to be installed next year, we have to order it this year. However, we do not have to pay any dollars out until next year. So we won't be paying anything until after July 1 for any of this equipment. They understand that this is part of our next year's budget and they will not be billing us until next year. All of these items are included in our capital budget, which will be presented to you later this year. We also have our RAS-WAS, which is the blue one, kind of a little bit further up from the clarifiers. That is all the equipment that works with our clarifiers. And then you could see the other items. Yellow would be done the year after that, and then the green would be, orange and green would be done in future years. So moving along, if you go to the next slide. So the clarifier I mentioned has died. These are some pictures of that clarifier. The motor and everything has stopped working. Like I said, these were also installed and rehabbed in 2007 as well when they did the last large plant expansion. So when we do the equipment upgrade that we're going to be asking for you to approve at the next meeting, that catwalk you see in that picture on the right will remain, but the rest of the equipment in that clarifier will all go away. We'll have all new equipment brought in for that. And it'll be slightly newer technology, a little better. Hopefully it'll last as long as what this did, because it lasted for quite a while, almost 20 years. We did take a good look at the clarifier when we got it emptied today, and it's not looking in too bad a shape, but we do have a full rehab that we're going to need to do on this, with cleaning off all the concrete, recoating everything, as well as installing all that new equipment. So as you can see, well, these pictures, you can see the bars, those bars that kind of run to the wall. All the baffles and everything that are supposed to be on there have all worn away and they're gone. That little green kind of strip you see over there on the top, just below those two gentlemen working, that will all be replaced as well as part of our rehab. If you could go on to the next. These are some more pictures of the equipment that's in that clarifier. And you can see all the rags and things that are stuck on there. Again, all of that equipment will be removed and replaced as part of our rehab project next year. Next slide. Again, this is the same clarifier, just different angles and different positions. The clarifier has not been working well for quite some time, and that's why you see all those rags and all that other material. Now, those rags that you see on there with the installation of our new headworks that we're putting in this year, that we're hoping will take a lot of those rags out of our system, because we really play hell with all of that ragging we get. Those wet wipes that they say are flushable, they are not flushable. I don't know how many times I've said that here at council, but please do not flush those supposed flushable wipes down the toilet, because they just cause hell with our wastewater system. Next slide. This is another item that's going to be coming to you today. If you look at that picture on the right, you're only going to see a ditch, but that's the pipe that blew up on us at the treatment plant and flooded our Section 10 wastewater treatment plant a few months ago. That pipe that you see in the picture on the left that's running kind of horizontal, you can see some orange there on some of that pipe. There's also some pitting, which you can't tell from this picture because it's too far away, but there's some pitting on that pipe as well. And what that is leading us to believe is that pipe is getting ready to fail. We do not want to flood the wastewater plant again. So what we want to do is we want to fix this on our terms rather than the pipe's terms. So what we can do is we can hold off and hold the sewage that's coming into the plant, outside the plant, in the collection system while we do the repair here. And that's going to come to you tonight. We want to get this pipe changed out as soon as possible because we're afraid it could go at any time. Next picture, or next slide. This is part of what the damage was that was done when that pipe busted last time. You can see everything that was washed out. We almost lost that transformer there. Had we lost that transformer, the whole plant would have been down. And you can see the sidewalks all caved in. And we wound up, because you can't really tell so much, but there's a big hole underneath that transformer. We pumped in a great quantities of slurry to shore up that transformer. Next slide. This is the pipe that busted. You can see on the right-hand slide what kind of bad shape that was in. And if you look at the picture on the left, if you look towards the right side of the screen, you can see the thickness of that pipe there. And if you look towards the top of it, you can see it's very, very thin. And this was a piece of ductile iron pipe. This is what we replaced previously, and we will be replacing some more of this. However, everything that's underground, we're gonna replace it with PVC pipe instead of ductile iron pipe. Next slide. These are some more pictures. If you look at that picture on the right, you see that tank in the front. You see how it's dirty up a ways? That's how high the sewage was in that area. We funneled everything into that area, so we would try to limit the damage that sewage was going to do to the plant. And so we funneled it into that area. And then we had to pump it all out. And this picture was taken after we'd already started pumping some of that out. And then you can see those buildings there. The building on the left there was just inundated with sewage, and it came all the way around. And that area where you see kind of towards the right center of that screen, those pipes sticking up, that was the conduit for our new generator. So we have a new generator that's coming for there, and it's actually in place now, but we had to put off for several months actually receiving that generator, because the ground was so saturated with sewage, we had to wait till everything dried out before we could complete the installation of that new generator. Next slide. This is our oxidation ditch, which I've mentioned earlier. If you look at the picture on the right, you can see how bad the concrete looks there. This is part of the reason that we have a consent order with the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. They want us to repair all of that damage. But it's not just that's all they marked out on their in their consent order. However, we have a number of other items that are problematic for us. That motor you see there, you can see it's spilling oil. The shaft for that motor is actually bent, and so it's not running near as efficient as it should. We figure it's going to cost us a couple million dollars to repair and rehab the whole thing. On tonight's agenda, we have the new equipment for this to be ordered, and that'll help us because, it's a nine-month lag for the equipment for this oxidation ditch as well. Next slide. Look at that pier in the picture on the left. You can see how it's all cracking. Most of the piers are like that. We're not sure how bad it is under the liquid level because, again, sewage, you can't really see through the sewage like you can clear water. So we're not sure what we're going to find once we actually start emptying this oxidation ditch and beginning the rehab work on this. But you can also see that motor spitting oil. It's just past its useful life. All this equipment at the oxidation ditch is just past its useful life. You can defer maintenance only so long, and then you've got to pay the piper. And unfortunately, deferred maintenance is we have a lot of deferred maintenance that we're having to make up for now. Next slide. Again, see, there's another portion of the concrete wall that's in pretty bad shape, and another motor that needs to be replaced. Again, the shaft on that one is also bent. The next slide. I'm going to spend a little more time on this one. This will be coming to you at the next meeting. This is our 18-1 lift station. This is the one that's across the street from Community Park that you've probably driven by several times. The walls in this lift station were just in horrendous shape. We did three lift stations. We started with lift station 16-2, and these are three of our biggest lift stations. So we started with 16-2. We used every bit of our budget on that one. We didn't go over budget, but we spent every dime of that budget to get it all completed. 18-2 actually went fairly well, and we were under budget on 18-1. However, we are going to be over budget by a significant amount, probably a little over $1 million. And the reason for that is that you can see from these pictures, it does not look that bad. Go to the next slide. This is our 18-2 lift station. You can see the walls have, you know, some places where the concrete has scaled off, and some areas where it looks like it's in pretty good shape. 18-2 was in fairly good shape, the wet wells. 16-2 was in pretty good shape too. So we figured 18-1 would be in a similar type of condition, and we were deadly wrong. Go to the next slide. This is the 18-1 lift station. You can see, if you look at that picture on the left, you see all those kind of lines in the picture? That's the rebar sticking through. So at this point, we've lost 5 or 6 inches of concrete on those walls. This was in horrible, horrible shape. It's just lucky that we started doing the rehab when we did. Otherwise, we would have probably lost this lift station. Next slide. These are more pictures. You see that kind of yellowish orange? That's the rust from the rebar. And you can see how in some places it's completely gone, and other places it's just barely hanging on. We wound up having to actually take out most of the rebar just disintegrated. And we had to put a whole new mat of rebar in here and then coat that rebar with concrete before we actually were able to start putting the preddle material on. And that's why this one is so expensive. It was in such a degraded state that we just had to spend a lot of money just to get to the point where we were able to start putting the preddle material in. Next slide. So you see the rebar here that's sticking out? This is actually right after we had cleaned the loose concrete off, but then when we started sandblasting, a lot of that rebar just disintegrated and was non-existent. So that's why we had to put the whole new mat in that lift station. This is after we had put the whole new rebar mat in and covered it with concrete, and the preddle material started going in. This lift station we had to do differently than the previous two lift stations, because what we had to do in the previous lift stations, that preddle material, that kind of orangey stuff, we actually drilled holes and put lags straight through the preddle material and into the concrete because the concrete was good and solid. Here, what we wound up having to do was we had to set anchors into all the concrete first, and then what we did was we put the preddle material in. And what we did was we would tighten those lag bolts to have the preddle panels go in or out, and they used a laser level going around to make sure all those panels were perfectly vertical and perfectly lined up horizontally. So it took a lot of time and a lot of effort to get that into that position. Then that left a gap between that preddle material and the concrete, and that annular space had to be filled with what we call a preddle mastic material. When they mix it up, they mix it up in small bags, and they mix it up in a bucket, because the stuff pours out like water, so it fills all the voids. But the thing is, it sets up in like 5 to 10 minutes, and it sets up to 10,000 PSI. So it's really strong material, and that's how it, so building that wall from the bottom, putting those panels in row by row by row, just took a long time because of all the extra work we had to put into getting this thing together. And then we're almost to the ceiling in these pictures here. If you go to the next slide, this is our 18-2 lift station. You see all the new piping that's nice and coated. You see the walls all in, all the new electrical wiring. this is what 18-1 will look like in a few short months once we get it completed. This is a completed lift station, our 18-2 lift station. So, as I said, we've got a lot of work. I know I went through kind of quickly, but Toby wanted me to be less winded than I usually am. But we've got a lot of projects on the boards for this year, for the rest of this year, and for next year. That's a picture of our headworks. That's all been coated now with a sealant, and it's been backfilled up to probably about 2 foot below the top of that. And all the rebar has been installed for the flooring, and they're getting ready to pour, like I said, in the next couple of weeks, the floor of this. We've got our lab being rehabbed out there. We've got this Section 10 plant is in the midst of an upgrade. So we're upgrading it from 4 million gallons a day to 6 million gallons a day due to all of our population growth. This plant was originally put in back in the 90s, and then it was upgraded in the 2004 to 2007 time frame to 4 million gallons a day. And so since 2007 to today, we've had a lot of population growth, and that's why we're expanding this plant from 4 million gallons a day to 6 million gallons a day. That's going to take the next 2 years are going to be the most crucial in this plant expansion, because we've got a lot of work to do. We've got the new aeration basin going in this year and next year. Once that is completed, we will empty our oxidation ditch into. Why don't you bring up that second slide that showed the treatment plant with the colors in it? There you go. So the oxidation ditch is down there in the center on the bottom. And the new aeration basin is over to the left of that in the blue. The one in the yellow is our existing aeration basin, which we'll get a rehab year after next. So that oxidation ditch will be emptied into that new aeration basin. It's kind of like playing dominoes if you think about it. So then what we'll be able to do is we'll be able to empty that oxidation ditch. We'll be able to get in there. The last time they did a rehab on this, like I said, was about 2007. They dropped a backhoe into that oxidation ditch, and they pulled out tons of sludge out of the bottom of that. So we're anticipating that we're going to have to do something similar there this time. We know we're going to have to change out some of the aeration heads. We know we're going to have to change out motors. We know we've got concrete repairs there. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen to that next year. And then, as I stated, those clarifiers, those three clarifiers, we're going to be constructing the new clarifier number 3, which is kind of the middle of your screen to the far left. Once we get that new clarifier completed, we will be taking clarifier number 2, which is the one kind of goldish with the blue sign on it. That will be emptied into the new clarifier, and we'll have clarifier number 2 fully rehabbed. Then once clarifier 2 is rehabbed, we will empty clarifier number 1 into clarifier number 2, and we will fully rehab clarifier number 1. So a lot of the things that we're doing in the wastewater side and the water side have to be staged regularly so that we can make sure that we can get everything done in a timely manner. I'll pause here for a minute to see if anybody has any questions.
I don't have any questions on the ones you went through. Just curiosity for the future clarifier number 3 and the aeration basin number 3. What time frame are we looking at those down the line?
Well, clarifier number 3 is next year.
Okay.
Aeration basin number 3, that's a lot of that's going to depend on our future growth. I mean, we've got some really big projects that are anticipated to come our way. It just depends on how quickly those come as to how quickly that other aeration basin will be needed. Because, for example, from 2007 to today, that's how long it took to do aeration basin number 2. However, I think it's going to be a lot shorter time frame for aeration basin number 3 based on what we believe our growth is going to be.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mark, just between now and 2028, you have a ballpark rough order magnitude guesstimate for all the completion that it cost for it?
We believe that we're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 to $70 million worth of capital projects.
Right now, how many guys are working, in, or I should say subs, out there working on doing all these repairs?
Well, we have outside contractors doing most of this work. We're helping a little bit, but I couldn't tell you what their staffing levels are. I know they've got a lot of people out there.
Okay. Thank you very much. No further questions on my part.
Anyone else? Okay. Turning back to the 18-1 lift station, I just want to talk a little bit more about that. If you could bring those lift station pictures back up. Okay, go to the next slide. Next slide. Okay, this, as I said, this lift station, you can see the piping's in bad shape, the walls are in bad shape. This was before we actually started to do all of the cleaning and scouring of the walls. We pulled all the loose concrete off, and then we sandblasted everything to get it in a place where we had actually good material to start with. And again, this took a lot of time. Go to the next slide. As you can see, all this rebar is rusted, and pretty much all of it disintegrated when we started sandblasting. And that's why the little bit that was left, what we had to do to make sure that it wasn't going to rust through and cause us problems, any of the rebar that was left, we had to actually chisel out all the way around that rebar so that we could make sure that the backside didn't have any rust on it either, that we couldn't see until we opened it up. And some of it had rust on it, so we had to sandblast and grind that off. And then once we did that, then we had to go back and we had to coat all the rebar to make sure that it wouldn't rust going forward on us. Again, all of this is very labor intensive. These guys were working in a relatively small hole, 40 feet in the ground. So we had to pump air in there. We had to use confined space entry. So it's a big deal what we had to do to this lift station. We had to do it to all of them, but this one was in such bad shape that those guys were down there for months at a time getting this stuff prepared for us to start building it back. Next slide. Again, this was before we sandblasted the rebar. You can see some of the rust, especially on that picture on the right. You can see rust on the edges. And we thought we might have it all, but when we started sandblasting, it just all disintegrated on us. And that's where we are today. They are just about to the surface on this one. Most of the electrical has been completed. We still have some final electrical to do. This project is not just the other two projects, 18-1 and 16-2, or 18-2 and 16-2, were just a rehab of the lift station. This one is a rehab plus an expansion of this lift station. So aside from all of this wet well work we had to do, we still have to put in a bar screen, just like we have at our wastewater treatment plants. We're putting in a bar screen here to try and get a lot of those rags and things out of the system before they get pumped into this lift station and our lift station 18-2 and our 18 treatment plant, because those rags just tear up motors and pumps. So what we're doing at this lift station, we're going to be putting in a big pit on the outside of this lift station that will have a big bar screen in it, which will be going through and taking out things like rags, wood, bowling balls. You wouldn't believe some of the things we find in the sewer system. But all of those types of material that don't go through the treatment process, those will get a bunch of those out here at this lift station before it actually goes into this lift station, because this lift station is very close to the river. We need to make sure that this lift station is running properly and we don't have any problems. Yes, you have a question?
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I've got another question. You mentioned earlier that you're replacing the iron with PVC. What's the useful life or lifespan on using PVC?
PVC usually lasts you, well, they'll tell you it'll last you about 50 years, but usually you get a little more than that out of a PVC pipe.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, ductile iron. It is coated ductile iron pipe, but still, there's an area, a space between the liquid and the pipe, and that's where the H2S gas sits, and that's where it starts corroding, and that's why you saw the top of that pipe so corroded. We have the same problem at our lift stations, and one of the things that we've done at all of our large lift stations, so 16-2, 18-2, 18-1 will have it as well, our 10-1, our Dean Hackett, which is 10-6, our 10-4 by Rotary Park, we've put wet well wizards in every one of those lift stations. And what that is it's kind of a basic technology, but it's something that's just starting to be used a lot in the wastewater industry. And what it is it's a tube that goes into the bottom of your wet well, and it's got big holes in it, and you've got a compressor up on the top. And what it does is it pumps air into the sewage that's in those lift stations. And what that does is it freshens it up and allows the aerobic bacteria to grow, rather than the anaerobic bacteria. The anaerobic bacteria are the ones that create the hydrogen sulfide gas. The aerobic bacteria are what we call the good bacteria, and they're the ones that actually start the treatment process. So we want to try and promote that growth all the way back into our lift stations rather than waiting till it hits our wastewater treatment plants so we can begin the treatment process earlier. For example, our 18-1 lift station, the sewage that goes into that 18-1 lift station comes from the north side of Laughlin Ranch, Desert Foothills, Sun Ridge, comes all the way around under the airport runway, comes all the way through Old Bullhead, goes to that lift station, 18-1. So by the time it gets to 18-1, it's been sitting in our sewage collection system for quite some time and has got pretty potent, and so there's a lot of anaerobic bacteria growing at that point. Now, once it hits 18-1, you know, that's why 18-1 is in such bad shape, because all that hydrogen sulfide that's been building up in the system coming all the way around gets released when it gets into that 18-1 lift station. So most of it is released there, so it's not so bad at 18-2 because it's all been released at 18-1. So what we're trying to do is help promote the growth of good bacteria, and we're going to be putting these in basically all of our large lift stations. We found actually at 18-2, we used to have a grease and scum layer on the top of 18-2. If you could bring up that 18-2 picture, please, of about 5 to 6 inches. Keep going. More. Keep going. It's like the last picture. Keep going. What? Keep going all the way through these. No, you're all the way at the beginning. I need the last one. Yeah, there you go. Okay, there, stop. Go back one. Okay, see the liquid here? How it just looks like liquid, like brown liquid? Before we started using the wet well wizards, what you would see is you'd see a big cake layer on top of that, about 5 to 6 inches of grease and scum. Those wet well wizards are keeping everything sequestered in the liquid so that it'll help prevent all that hydrogen sulfide gas from being released into these wet wells. We will be putting those same items in our 18-1 lift station when that gets completed. So we are using technology as much as we can throughout our system. We're putting an item called a Cassibio logger in our system. Those will tell us what the dissolved oxygen is in our system. They'll tell us what the level is in a manhole. They will let us know what the hydrogen sulfide gas level is. So we're really trying to use technology to help us better operate our systems that we have so that we can try and reduce the maintenance we have to do in the system.
And that is, Mayor, you might recall over by the post office about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we were getting a bunch of complaints there. I think through these technologies, you've really taken that down quite a bit. We still get that every once in a while on a cool evening, maybe down at Rotary Park. And so, staff notifies Mark and his team, and, you know, they've got some technology and some things they can do to keep those smells to a minimum. But those of us who've lived here for any length of time remember what it was like 20, 25 years ago, all the corners. I mean, it was really bad. So we've really been able to reduce those to really almost zero emissions for the normal person to smell. And if we ever do, we just need to notify Mark and his team to make sure they go out and take a look at those lift stations, because the one by the post office a couple years ago got really bad, and it was a real nuisance to the neighborhood there. So I think we've cleaned that up.
And what we're doing, too, like at the 10-4 lift station, which is by Rotary Park, we're putting on another activated carbon scrubber there, because we found that it's not hydrogen sulfide gas that people are smelling there, because we put odor loggers there, and there's zero H2S gas emissions coming out of our plant there. But there are other chemicals that cause odors, too, that are not pleasant to normal people. And so we're going to add a carbon scrubber on the end of our H2S scrubber that we have there. So we're hopeful that should be installed here within the next month or two. And we're hopeful that that will take care of the rest of the odors there. Lakeside Drive, as Toby said, we've really come a long way. The wet well wizard seemed to be working. But there are other problems with that line that require really the replacement of that line. It's undersized. It's only a 24-inch line. It should be a 30-inch line. That line was laid flat as this table. It should be at a slope. So, and then we have the three lift stations all dumping into one manhole. And I know several of you have seen those pictures that I've showed before, showing those three lift stations dumping into the one manhole, which churns up all the liquid and releases the H2S gas. So we've got a better methodology for putting that in. So over time, when we have funding, we will be addressing Lakeside Drive and basically redoing that whole line on Lakeside Drive as well. So a lot of work. We've come a long way in the last 4 years. We've got really good staff. We've got really good management team. So I feel really good about where we are right now. We took over in 21, and since then we've made a lot of improvements, a lot of staff changes. But we're in a really good place now. It's just we're going to need some additional funding moving forward to complete what we have started. Any questions?
Additional questions? Okay. Anyone from the audience?
Good evening, everybody. My name is Harvey Pryor. It doesn't smell nowhere near as bad as what it used to here. That is definitely true. On the inside of a lot of these, where you're showing how the concrete's been eaten away and everything, and on a lot of the columns, I apologize for coming in late. I was watching at home, and thank you very much for the photographs. Is there a reason why there wasn't a moisture barrier applied to the concrete to stop it from being penetrated by moisture that's eating it away so bad? And is there a plan to use a moisture barrier on the concrete, like that one we've seen was nice and painted all yellow, looks like it might last a little longer, than just leaving it bare concrete?
No, we do put coatings on the concrete, but as I said, the last time that was rehabbed was 2007, so that coating that we had on there is long gone, because they don't last that long. And it's not so much the liquid that's causing that concrete to break like that. It's the hydrogen sulfide gas. Because as you drain those down, you see the concrete actually looks in pretty good shape. It's that top piece that's right above the water where the gas comes out that gets the brunt of the gases.
Okay, I was just trying to think on the outside the box on whether there would be some sort of a moisture layer or acid barrier.
There is a coating,
something.
Yes.
Okay, all right, well, that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? All right, that concludes our work session. I get a motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
All right, cast your votes.
Right. 7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
We'll be back at 5:30 for our regular scheduled council meeting. Thank you.
Feet between themselves and other watercraft. Turning sharply to spray another PWC, boat, or someone on the beach is dangerous and illegal. Be aware of other boats around you. Avoid crisscrossing in front of other boaters and blocking their view. Remember, your PWC is capable of making very fast turns. Look around you before you turn. Don't surprise other boaters with sudden or unpredictable maneuvers. Jumping wakes or other boats is also very dangerous and against the law. Just like on the road, there's a pattern to the traffic on the river. It's counterclockwise. An easy way to remember this is to always keep the shore to your right. When approaching another watercraft head-on, both watercraft should turn to their right. This will allow both boats to pass safely. When approaching another boat to the side, the boat on the right has the right of way. But remember, when leaving the shore, let the boats in the traffic pattern go by first. They have the right of way in this circumstance. Sometimes you may want to pass a slower moving watercraft. Passing on the left or right side is legal as long as you leave enough room between watercraft to pass safely. Most people are used to being passed on the left in a car, so that may be the safer option. Pass far enough away so that your wake doesn't create a hazard for the other boat. If you're being passed, make sure that you don't turn into the path of the passing boat. While being passed, always maintain your direction and speed. During the summer months, ocean-certified lifeguards patrol the river on PWCs and walk the beach of Community Park. You can identify them by their bright neon yellow uniforms. Lifeguards on the river have the authority to issue commands and warnings to members of the public to keep everyone safe. The lifeguards are there for your safety and will respond to your aid in case of an emergency. Personal watercraft, or PWCs, are performance watercraft and should be handled with respect. Here are some PWC-specific safety considerations. PWCs are fast-moving, agile watercraft. Protect yourself by wearing goggles, gloves, and footwear,